are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And as we go into the Scripture in Motion this afternoon, we are looking to have a conversation about practical generosity, kicking off our theme for the week. In actual fact, practical generosity in a selfish world. Does it differ? Generosity in this kind of world and generosity in any other space, is it different? And we've often heard it said that the more you give, the more you gain, right? That's usually the motto that goes out there in the world. The more you give, the more you gain. Charles Spurgeon, the famous Christian theologian, right? He said the great, this is that 19th century Baptist preacher. He explained that the beautiful irony in his unique way, flowers in bloom give their fragrance and rivers run into the sea generously. Now, Spurgeon went on to say, the sea feeds the clouds and the clouds empty out their treasures. The earth gives back the rain in fertility. And so it is an endless chain of giving and generosity. I mean, there is this give and take and a give to receive later on, understanding that's coming through here. If you will listen closely to the minister's words. And yet here we are, worried about finances and desperate for more. We often feel defeated and dismayed, working and serving hard, but always coming up short, financially and in other areas as well, right? So we then begin to question this idea of the more you give, the more you gain. Is there more to the secret of generosity than meets the eye? Is there maybe some factor to this recipe that we are maybe missing, some ingredient, vital as it may be, that we are perhaps not putting in, that we are not finding the result to be similar as others of past years have? And that's a conversation we're going to be having as we go into this segment. We're looking forward to chatting with Pastor Choga. It looks like Mfundisi is nowhere to be found. If you have Mfundisi Choga close to you, please do let them know. Pastor, they are looking for you on the wireless. That's Pastor Choga, who is our guest for this week as we're looking into this deep concept in our Scripture in Motion, practical generosity in a selfish world. And by the way, this conversation is not just between me and the pastor. No. It's also including yourself as you tune in right here to Adventist World Radio, SID Media. Maybe you're tuning in live, listening into the content on SIDmedia.org, or maybe the app Adventist World Radio, SID Media. It's okay. Share your thoughts, your comments, or perhaps you will have this as a conversation later on and you're tuning in as a podcast and you want to say, wait a minute, I still have thoughts on what you guys deliberated upon. We want to hear your thoughts. +27 73 470 3520. That number again, +27 73 470 3520. Let's chat everything practical generosity in the selfish world. The pastor is here to join us. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Good afternoon.
Trusting that we find you well, Moruti.
Thank you very much. I'm doing very, very well. How are you?
No, we're okay. We're okay. How was the weekend? The Sabbath good? The Sunday good?
Everything was a blessing.
Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise God for that. And thank you, by the way, for making time to share your thoughts and your comments and also your wisdom and your expertise as a pastor, as a minister with us on this topic this week, practical generosity in a selfish world. Let's jump straight into the conversation. Why should a Christian be generous in a selfish? I mean, surely the world preaches each to his own. Take care of number one. But Christians somehow are told to go the opposite direction, swim against the current, be generous. Why?
I think generosity is one of the basic principles of life.
Okay.
Look at nature. Nature is always giving. Mm. The trees are producing oxygen. They release leaves. The leaves go to the ground. They fertilize the ground. You know, the sun comes up. It gives its light. The trees produce food. And the food is eaten by animals. The animals fertilize the ground. You know, it's always a cycle of giving. Whether you go to the water cycle, the water goes into the ground. It flows to the streams, to the big rivers, to the sea. Goes up again in condensation. So it's that continuous releasing and not holding back.
Yeah,
that makes life to be able to continue. So generosity is a law of life. And we are more alive when we give. Giving is life-affirming, and stinginess is... So if one is life-affirming, which means the other one fights against life.
Yeah, stinginess is a law against life. Quite profound. Quite profound.
I actually want to share this text with you.
Okay.
It's Proverbs chapter 11, verse Proverbs chapter 11, I'll read from verse 24. It says, there is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul, verse 25, will be made rich. And he who waters will also be watered himself. Verse 26 says, the people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells.
Amen.
So people, while people want to be stingy, they love someone who is generous and they love receiving gifts. So if I love receiving gifts, it means everyone else also loves receiving. And generosity becomes a cycle of, you know, happiness and, you know, joy as it continues to go round and round.
As you were speaking, Murut, and thank you for the passage. I love it in one language. I love how you brought across this, especially in the beginning, how you were addressing it, that this is a concept of life. It is the law of life, which kind of hints then that one doesn't need to be Christian in order to be generous.
No. The benefits of generosity can be reaped by people who are Christians. They're also available to people who may not be Christians, because generosity itself is, like I said, it's nature.
Yeah.
It's like gravity.
Yeah.
The results will always come to the one who practices it.
And so then this passage, let's take that verse, for example, that you gave here, verse number 24, number 25, one who gives freely and gains more, the generous man who prospers and will be refreshing because he refreshes others. These promises of blessing for those who pour out, are we then saying that God also then administers this blessings even on non-believers as well?
So I need to make a distinction there when it comes to non-believers. Let's put this distinction and say there are temporary benefits and there are eternal benefits.
So
a non-believer can be able to experience the temporary. These are the benefits that we can actually have here on this earth. They'll be able to experience those benefits of giving. But what they cannot experience as non-believers are the eternal benefits of giving, because those ones come only through Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father except through him. So without believing in Jesus Christ, you cannot be able to experience the eternal benefits. But since God put generosity as part of nature, the way he created things, generosity, like we said from the beginning, it's naturally life-affirming, so you will be able to experience temporal benefits, definitely. But for the eternal benefits, you need to believe in Jesus Christ.
I hear what you're doing. I see you, Mfundisi. So you're saying if you want to be wise, if you want to really reap the full benefits of generosity, not only the temporal, but the eternal, make yourself a Christian. I hear your undertones. I almost hear you preaching like Agrippa is going to respond to you. Say, Pastor Choka, you want to make me in so few words a Christian when I see you.
but you see, this is not just preaching. This is a fact of life, because Jesus says, I am, no one can go to the Father, so there is no other way except through him.
It's almost like someone saying, you know what, here's an investment plan, and you can get some benefits short term, if you will, if you join the plan. But if you then do this other part, you get even long term benefits even after you've retired. And to be only one who is lacking wisdom, who says, no, I don't need the long term benefits, just give me the short term.
Just give me the short term.
Everyone wants that extra plan, I think, that takes care even into the later years. Pastor, biblical examples of generosity. I know you spoke to us about this principle of life from Proverbs. Do we get people in Scripture who have been generous in the manner we've been talking about, in selfish spaces?
You know, I've got lots of people. One of the persons who's been generous in selfish like space is the young boy who gave his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I'm imagining, can you think that in that crowd of 5,000 people, only one boy thought of carrying lunch and the rest of the people didn't think about it?
No, it doesn't not make sure they,
When the disciples were going around doing a, you know, taking stock to say, because Jesus says, check, how much food do we have? Most probably a lot of people sit on top of their food and act like we do not have food. But this young boy then, you know, gives up what he has. And through that small thing, God is able to perform a great miracle, you know, out of this little boy's generosity.
Profound.
But the other one, the other story, you know, familiar biblical story, is when David sends a message to Nabal and says, give us some food, I'm passing through with my guys. And Nabal refuses to do it. And David is so angry, he's going to destroy everyone. And then Nabal's wife, Abigail, decides to do what the husband refused. And she quickly rushes and gives the food and does all the hospitality that is needed.
Yeah.
And because of that generosity, she stems the tide of war, because war was about to break out. Mm. But she quickly went out, acted generously, and peace prevailed.
Amen.
So these are just small, like, you know, few examples. There are many, many examples of generosity in the Bible. You can talk about Dorcas, how her gifts, her kindness blessed everyone around her, so that when she died, people couldn't accept the fact that Dorcas was dead. No one wanted Dorcas to be dead. And and she had to be brought back to life because of her gifts. I'm just thinking, how many times would we almost want to plead to God to say, God, everyone else can die except this one. And Dorcas did it because of her generosity.
Hey, and I think that's quite profound, you know, because that's the difference we're called to, I guess, in this world, to say, you know what, when everyone else is going this way, I mean, we're talking about actually complaining about going against the stream, but that's what the world actually itself is looking for, somebody who goes against the stream. You know, everyone is selfish, but I'm look at this one, Father, keep this one because they are different. And we pray that we and the listeners as they tune in can be turned into those people. Now, the main challenge we want to address in Maruti, maybe conscientize us on these, some of those challenges of practicing this idea of generosity, this selfless generosity in a world today. What are some of those hurdles, if you will, so obstacles that people must be aware of?
I think the basic obstacle is, you know, the culture.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned it at the beginning.
Yeah.
The culture is consumer, you know, consumeristic. What can I get from it? If I can get nothing, then I'll have nothing of it. What is in there for me? You know, the culture is get as much as you can. We have a scarcity mentality that plagues us. We think that if we give, then we will not have enough. And yet God speaks abundance. And actually, what the other thing that causes poverty is that scarcity mentality of thinking that there is too little, when actually there is abundance. And once we get into that frame of mind of abundance, we will be shocked at the difference that it will make in our lives. Even, you know, this is why the Bible was saying generosity tends to make someone rich. It's because now they're opening themselves into this different culture, this different worldview of moving from scarcity to abundance. So I think the greatest challenge is the consumeristic culture around us that says, get, like you said at the beginning, go for number one. You know, the one who has the most toy wins. You know, so this is how we lead our lives, rather than saying, what impact can I make? How can I be of benefit? How can I make a difference? That kind of person who is always looking to make a difference, who is always looking to be a benefit, will never starve. That one I can even stamp my foot. It's impossible.
And you know, saying, speaking about that, and also tying it with some earlier comment you made on this idea of scarcity mentality, there's a saying in my language which says, the visitor will never finish the grain store, right?
Sure.
Some people want to refuse to offer the visitor even something, even a drink of water. I know they'll finish our food. No. A visitor will never empty and finish out that. And
the granary,
Fascinating. Fascinating, because even if they stay a month, because that's what visitors in the older days would do, right? They'll just come by, you see them knocking on the door, they're here for a week, you know, month, and you never know when they're going. But yet, in that culture, that's when we were told, no, you never say to a visitor, sorry, man, I don't have anything for you, because they won't finish the granary. I want us to address this idea of selfishness you spoke to, Maruti. One author once wrote a very powerful line that the spirit of the enemy, the spirit of Satan, of his kingdom is to get, is to always want and want. How can the listeners that tune in today practically overcome this idea of self-centeredness, of selfishness, to live more graciously, more generously?
This is where one idea we explored before comes in handy. the Jesus factor. We spoke about generosity for people who may be generous and yet they're not Christians. Yes, it's true. It's possible.
Yeah.
But you can still be generous for the wrong reasons. Generosity itself is not the only thing. I can be generous so that I build my own ego, so that I true. Actualize myself.
So I'm seen.
True generosity can only come when Jesus transforms the heart. We look at Jesus. We look at what he did on the cross. Though he was rich for our sake, he became poor. The one who was righteous died for the people who were evil and gave his life for us. You look at Jesus and that begins to transform the way we think and act. And interestingly, when you read the New Testament, you will discover that the verb to give is used to refer to God and Jesus Christ more than every other person combined. You take everyone else who gave in the New Testament, you put them in a pile. The pile of Jesus and God giving is higher. So God is the greatest giver. And when he asks us to give, he's asking us to become more like he is.
Yo, I like that statistic. You put a pile and God will always outgive anybody combined.
Combined, yes.
Yeah. Muruti, sadly, all good things have to come to an end, even the giving of wisdom like you're doing today. What would be your final thoughts that you want to leave ringing in the ears of the listener today?
My final thoughts would be giving is life-affirming. But it doesn't come naturally because by nature we are sinners, we are selfish. We want to get, even little baby wants to get, they don't open their hands in acceptance, but they close and they grasp. This is how we are born. Since it doesn't come naturally, we need to be deliberate about it. We need to think about it and exercise it. And it's only as we give more that the selfishness inside begins to die. So it has to be deliberate. Let's think about it. Let's be intentional, and generosity will become part of our lives.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Muruti. May God bless you. Until we chat again tomorrow, keep well and stay blessed.
Thank you for having me.
Only a pleasure. That's Pastor Choga talking to us this afternoon. Profound thoughts that he has been sharing. And if you have something to add, anything to question, you can talk to us. +27734703520. Says one belief statement that stewardship, this idea of giving and how to deal with gifts and taking care of business, is given for the purpose, two purposes. Number one, to get rid or to be a remedy to the selfish heart, the covetous heart, and also to be a training in what love is all about. Be a giver, not a taker, is the counsel that we're getting today. I pray that you take it to heart and you apply it.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.